Hi. Welcome to our talk. We'll give an update on the Coconut SUSM project. Just a quick introduction. So in confidential virtualization, we want to take out the hypervisor and the cloud provider out of the things that we need to trust and rely on the hardware platform to provide confidentiality for the virtual machine. This comes with a little problem. Usually the hypervisor is emulating devices and providing services to the guest, which it can no longer do because we don't trust it anymore. So as a solution to this, we need an execution environment that where we can put these things. And for example, on AMD, we have the term of the SVSM, so the secure VM service module. And it runs inside of the TCP of the CVM and is isolated from the hypervisor and the guest. And this is very useful, for example, for providing a virtual TPM device or helping with storing AFI variables as a migration helper and a lot of other things. So Coconut SVSM is an implementation of such a service module, of course, started for AMD CephSNP, but we are working on generalizing it and support for Intel TDX is on the way. Currently, we support QEMU, Hyper-V, and Vanadium as hypervisors. It's written in Rust. Started in 2002. Apache license, MIT license. Current main feature provides a virtual TPM device to the guest. And right now, we're still relying on an enlightened operating system, but a Paravisor is on the roadmap. So how does it look like? Coconut comes packaged as an IGVM file. This is a file format that specifies the initial state of the guest, so memory layout and content and registers. So it makes it easy because you have that file. You can easily calculate the initial launch measurement. This gets loaded and everything is measured into the initial launch measurement, which is then later part of the attestation report that you can request and to verify by remote attestation that we're running what we're expecting to run. AMD SNP provides this feature called VMPL, so that's a privilege mechanism to isolate the SVSM from the guest operating system. It launches, first SVSM is launched, then it launches the OVMF, which in turn then boots the Linux OS. We provide a TPM device to the guest. This TPM is ephemeral. That means it's reconstructed at every boot. So all the primary keys are regenerated. So it loses its identity. This is mostly due to the fact that we don't have a secure storage where we could persist these things. But it provides the PCRs that can be used as usual for measured boot and runtime measurements. And the SNP attestation report that can be requested also includes the TPMEK, so we can then, after remote attestation, be sure that we're talking to a valid TPM device. OVMF also uses a volatile AFI storage right now, also for the same reasons. We don't know how to store it in a safe way, which makes it hard to configure secure boot properly, so because everything will be lost or you can't change the keys. And also, since we're lacking secure management mode, we can't really protect the storage from the guest OS and enforce the AFI variable policies. So we have a few questions left in this whole scheme. This is like, of course, we're using an encrypted root disk. So how do we get the key to unlock the root disk? And we also need to talk about when and how to do the remote attestation. And the question is, maybe we can add a persistent storage so that we can store the TPM state and the AFI variables. But we'll talk about this later a little bit. Quick overview of the TPM that we have. So we're using the TCG reference implementation, which is written in C. And then, of course, because we're on Rust, we need a small C library. And we also pull an open SSL for all the crypto stuff. The guest can talk to that TPM via the SVSM guest interface. It's an AMD specific protocol, and it requires enlightened drivers in OVMF and in Linux. yeah, I already said the thing is ephemeral, but we can still use it for measured boot. Yeah, a quick look, outlook on the roadmap. So we have our first development release planned soon. We're working on implementing some kind of user mode tasks, so splitting off the SVSM kernel from some user tasks. Of course, this needs a lot of infrastructure and a lot of details to be implemented. Yeah, the next big thing is X2 APIC support, which is also required to make other platforms work except AMD. Yeah, and in the long horizon, we have the full ParaVisor mode that is hopefully we'll get there at some point. And yeah, of course, we're working on upstreaming all the driver bits into the other projects. And also QEMU needs some patches still that are not upstream yet. And yeah, we hope to implement some secure persistent storage for Coconut.
Okay, now we can talk a bit more about one of the main feature we want to provide with SVSM, which is the state persistent. As Oliver mentioned, all of our services now are not persistent, so we cannot store any state, and everything is rebuilt on every boot. So we want to support stateful services, essentially mainly for VTPM, for stateful VTPM, and to provide a UEFI variable store that can be updated at runtime by the user. So our state, the SVSM state, will contain the VTPM state, all the state of our services. In order to do that, we need to persist that kind of information somewhere. So our idea is to provide a storage driver to SVSM where the backend will be provided essentially by the host in some way. Could be a network driver or a simple file stored in a host file system. For this reason, we need some kind of encryption on top, of course. And another requirement we have is to support multiple drivers, because SVSM, one goal of SVSM is to run on different environments. So the main question is how to decrypt the state. And the answer that we already saw in previous presentation is to do attestation. In this case, we will talk about early attestation, because we are really early in the boot phase. We are in SVSM, which is a firmware, which is even before OVMF. So we will do that attestation, of course, to receive the key to decrypt the storage that contains all the state of the services that SVSM will provide. How the remote attestation will work, we already talked a lot about them, but essentially SVSM will generate assisted with the hardware, will generate an attestation report that contains an evidence, send it to a remote server that will check that everything is fine. So the launch measurement is the one that we expected. So the software that is running is the software that really we want, and the hardware is a genuine hardware that provides confidentiality. If everything is fine, the remote server will send back to SVSM the key, and that key will be used to unlock the state. Now we have a couple of challenges. Network stack. We don't have the network stack in SVSM, and we are not sure we want to support it and maintain it. Yeah, exactly. And we also want to support multiple attestation protocols. As I mentioned, we are not tied to a specific architecture or a specific cloud vendor, so we want to support multiple attestation protocols. So one of our proposal that we discussed last year at Plumber was an attestation proxy. So essentially a simple application running into the host that will forward all the requests coming from SVSM to the remote attestation server using an HTTP connection, where the HTTP will be done by the host. This architecture has several advantages, like we don't need any network stack on SVSM, and we will use features that are already well supported by VMM, like a serial port or VSOC connection between the SVSM and the proxy. The drawbacks that we discussed at Plumbers a lot was some cloud vendors does not provide any network connectivity into the host. So our application cannot reach in any way the remote server in this in that environment. And also for some attestation protocol could be an issue that the TLS is handed into the host, and so the guest, the SVSM, could have some issue to authenticate the source. So another idea that was shared by HPE, I put the link in the slide on the, this proposal, was essentially to move that application into the guest. So we call that attestation bridge, and it will be essentially a similar application, but could be for an UEFI application. Since we already have UEFI, UEFI support an address stack, so we can write an application, an UEFI application that do something similar of the proxy we described, or could be a minimal operating system, like a very minimal Linux kernel with the application on top, or when in SVSM, as Oliver mentioned, we are providing support for user space, and maybe we will provide support for standard Rust in SVSM in a user space. We can that bridge could also be an SVSM user space application. The main advantages of this architecture is everything is self-contained into the firmware, so everything is into the IGVM file that Oliver mentioned, and we don't require anything to run into the host, so also we don't require the connectivity into the host. We also have some drawbacks with this approach. So essentially the bridge will be part of the launch measurement, so if you have some kind of CVE, since the bridge could be a big part of the of the firmware, you need to update your IGVM and so your launch measurement. The bridge also requires some kind of setup, network setup, so the VMM need to, I mean, we need to define some kind of configuration to tell to the bridge how to configure the network. And the boot phase could be a bit more complex, because SVSM needs to boot this kind of bridge that could be like a temporary VM or something like that, then throw everything away. I mean, use it to get the secret, to unlock the storage, then throw away everything and start the real OVMF and guest. And so talking about the state, we have some potential attacks we want to prevent, which are essentially rollback and clone attacks. With rollback, a malicious host can provide to SVSM a state which is encrypted with the write key, but could be an old state. This kind of attacks can, for example, undone some update on the secure boot keys we stored into the UEFI variable store. And the clone attacks is the host can spawn multiple VMs with the same SVSM state, so reusing the TPM. Essentially, multiple VMs will use the same TPM, which can break the uniquity of the TPM. And in order to protect these attacks, we have something in mind, like for the rollback, use a boot counter, and for clone, we can allow a successful attestation only for a single instance for a VTPM identity only one time for each request coming from the user. Anyway, if you are interested about those, we are discussing in the TCG virtualization platform working group possible changes to the TPM specification and also attestation protocols we need. I put some links here, so if you are interested, please join. Now, just to recap everything, so how the boot phase will work. Essentially, the first step, the hypervisor will load into the confidential VM memory the SVSM and OVMF from the IGVM file. And SVSM will boot, and during the boot needs to talk with needs to talk with the remote server using the proxy or the bridge, and generate the attestation reaper, send it to the server, and receive back the key to unlock the storage. And at this point, the SVSM can initialize the TPM, the virtual TPM and UEFI variable service, and continue the boot's launching of VMF. OVMF can use secure boot and measure boot thanks to the TPM, and can then launch the operating system with will be able to use the TPM to essentially is a stateful TPM, so it can be used to do the looks key unsealing, and then automatically mount the root file system. We have a demo. Of course, we don't have time, so we put a link. It's a complete demo, proof of concept, of course, with everything we saw. And also, we maintain a corporate repo. So if you want to try essentially all some of the changes that we need in Linux, QEMU, and ADK2 are not yet upstream. So if you want to try, we have a corporate repo with all of those packages plus SVSM. Yeah, that's time for questions.
Yesterday in the application workshop, so that you can, instead of doing either proxy or bridge, you could do both and terminate the TLS inside the trusted environment and use the proxy as just the transport connectorization.
Yeah.
Because you are already pulling in OpenSSL, right?
Right.
So you have the bio abstraction there, you can just bio read, bio write, bio connect,
yeah.
And then have the guy just.
This is a good point. I will repeat what, I mean, it's an observation, it's a suggestion for us. Essentially, he's suggesting to, instead of using the proxy or the bridge, we can do something like a mix, using the proxy just really as a proxy, and the TLS connection into the bridge. So in this case, the proxy will be used for the real TCP connection, and the TLS will be handed into SVSM. This will solve the TLS issue, but we still have the issue of some cloud vendors that doesn't have connection into the host hypervisor. So maybe we need to support both. But yeah, thank you.
SVSM offer certificate of endorsement key?
Sorry, can you repeat?
PKI certificate for endorsement key.
You mean it? SVSM will generate it, or? Yeah, so actually the current implementation, the endorsement key, as SVSM, the TPM into SVSM an endorsement key, yes, that endorsement key currently is generated randomly at every boot. The idea is to, when we will support the storage, is to provide also an offline tool that you can use to install which key do you want.
I would like to pile on to what Thomas said, because the SIM card industry has been using this model that he described with TLS in the sort of trusted execution environment for more than 25 years. So like, if they manage to get it done, I think it's possible in a virtual machine, right?
Yeah.
Like from a performance point of view. And it's also not a problem, because they are also, nobody directly sends like the messages directly to the SIM card, but instead it's the proxy outside that needs to initiate the connection first, because otherwise the server side infrastructure is no entity to contact.
Okay.
So there is some machinery, but it's manageable. So there's precedence.
Okay.
Just to pick up on the endorsement key question, it's how do you trust the virtual TPM? It sounds like what you need is an out-of-band check of the attestation statement of the confidential VM rather than being able to trust the TPM. So the hardware TPM, there's a certificate over the endorsement key that means I know it's backed by a hardware-backed TPM. It's a discrete device. This is sort of constructed out of cloth in the confidential VM, and there's no direct trust path of being able to say this is a TPM that is definitely trustworthy. There's an extra step there that wasn't entirely clear to me in your diagram, so I think I have to do some clarification.
Yeah, we didn't. The question is, the real TPM has a certificate that proves that the endorsement key is essentially the identity of who generated the endorsement key. Do we have something there? The answer is currently no, but when we will provide a stateful TPM, we can provide a tool and you can essentially generate whatever you want and install also the endorsement key. So it will be up to the user, to who configured the SVSM to do that steps.
The problem with this is that in a cloud environment, the cloud vendor is the adversary, so you don't have a natural person who can do all of those checks and provide a signature that is a trusted third party. That's the piece that is missing, and I would love to see a solution for.
Yeah, I mean, we are providing the building blocks, and we are not working on currently on that things, but the building blocks will be there. So essentially, if there will be a certification authority that the user want to choose, they will be able to install whatever they want into the virtual TPM and then check the identity. Okay. Sorry.
One more
question.
Yeah. So for like real world infrastructures, how do you suppose we will specify which attestation server to talk to, and the expected say public key of it?
The question is, how is when we talk with a remote attestation server?
We have multiple guests, right?
Right.
Each guest will want to talk to some server. How do we specify it? Like, where is it stored?
It will be stored into the IGVM in some way, or provided in some other way by the hypervisor to SVSM. So when you start your VM, you will configure SVSM with the destination server you want to reach, or if, for example, in the case of the proxy, you will launch the proxy specifying where the remote server is need to
and
be reached.
Like you have one proxy for all the guests on the host, they will all talk to the same station server.
You can spawn multiple proxy if you want. So our idea for now is to have one proxy for each VM.
Okay. Let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.